Speaking up is you and me, Candace, having a conversation and me saying things to you that are not edited, that are not, that are not, oh, I shouldn't say that, right? Oh, I don't want to upset Candace. Oh, I want her to like me, right? All these things that start going through your head. And so one of the best ways I've found, actually, that I oftentimes will say to people is, what's stopping you? Is it you? Because oftentimes it's you. And if you can actually understand, why do I feel uncomfortable saying that to Candace? So here's a couple of rules that I have, which I really think, I'm not really big on rules. I've always been a, you know, kind of one of those people who said, why are there rules, right?
Welcome to Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast helping DIY marketers attract raving fans and repeat buyers. I'm your host and accountability coach, Candace Rodarte, and today I'm joined by the absolutely fabulous Jennifer S. Wilcoff. Jennifer is the founder and CEO of Speak Up Women, a community that empowers women to be their authentic selves. Through her inspiring message, "You have the right to remain fabulous," Jennifer encourages women to embrace their self-worth and speak up for what they believe in. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you, Candace. It's so lovely to be here with you.
It's good to see you again.
It's great to see you too.
We saw each other an hour ago, just for reference. All right. So tell us your story. How did you get to where you are?
So I actually started Speak Up Women in 2016. I started the platform in 2015 and produced my first conference on International Women's Day in New York City at the United Nations for 300 women live all day long, breakfast, lunch, and a after party, with a main stage plus two breakouts, one in the morning with three different options and one in the afternoon, which was a huge hit. Then that summer or that May, I completed the Grand Canyon rim to rim in one day. I completed 23 and a half miles in 15 and a half hours from the north rim to the south rim. And then in July, I flew to Tanzania and I summited Kilimanjaro. In November, I came down from the mountain to an advanced stage 4 non-small cell lung cancer diagnosis. And I sat across from an oncologist who told me that I was going to die. And I said, "You've got the wrong girl." And so I actually started chemotherapy the following January in 2017 and had my first near-death experience in February. On Valentine's Day, I woke up at 3 a.m. in the morning to an apartment on fire. And I was the person who discovered the fire in our apartment and basically was able to not only survive it, but get my husband and my two cats out, and then neighbors upstairs in the apartment and the neighbor downstairs in the apartment. And the insurance person that I spoke to told me that usually she talks to next of kin because people don't survive. They asphyxiate in the soot and they die. She said, "Everybody is very lucky that you woke up, including you." So that started a trajectory for me, Candace, honestly, because that April, we learned that I was highly allergic to the chemotherapy that was being infused into my body. And in April, I started developing something called capillary leak syndrome. And so my body blew up, just like the blueberry girl in Willy Wonka and the chocolate factory, from the fluid that was actually escaping my veins into the distal tissue of my body, making me actually expand and swell as a person. By July, fast forward, I ran head into my second near-death experience. And I was rushed to the hospital because I had at that point taken on 50 pounds of fluid. I had ascites in my abdomen, which are little water balloons that basically get stuck in there. And I was rushed to the hospital because I had cellulitis crawling up my leg, increasing in size every hour and doubling. And my father was screaming on the phone saying, if you don't get to the hospital, you're going to die. So what we had been doing, meanwhile, me and my then boyfriend, now husband, and my dad, I was the one who identified the capillary leak syndrome and kept telling the oncologist that there was something wrong. And they just kept seeing me take on this water in my body, this fluid, and wouldn't do anything, wouldn't change anything. And so finally, my dad ended up using his resources. He is a physician, but in another field, and put together a 13-page report that actually talked about this thing, capillary leak syndrome. Then he actually, in his report, had listed the number one guy in the nation who actually was the expert. So my boyfriend hunted this guy down. Lo and behold, what happened was my boyfriend actually had his phone number connected with him on the phone. And he said, I have to talk to your doctor. And if I don't talk to your doctor, he can't prescribe the antidote to what's happening to your girlfriend. So I was admitted on Wednesday. We had the name of the number one expert by Thursday. The oncologist who was the head of my team was also the head of the thoracic oncology department at Memorial Sloan Kettering and wouldn't listen to us. Finally, one of the other oncologists on the team walked in on Friday and said, I read your dad's report. We're now going to reach out to this person that he named. So my boyfriend handed him a sheet of paper and said, here's his number. He's waiting for your call. It was his cell phone. They connected. That oncologist got the information, placed the order for the antidote. I started getting it at 5 o'clock and he called my room at 8:45 that night to make sure that I was receiving it because he was going on vacation. The bottom line is if they hadn't done that and if we hadn't done that, I would have died on Sunday. But I'm still here. So what happened was I literally went through this process of trying to recover, got put on a different therapy. And ironically, I went into the patient representative office and spoke up and said, this is wrong. And I don't know how many other people this guy is killing, but you've got to actually look at this, right? They did. Because I spoke up, they brought him in front of a board and demoted him from the chair of the department. So I was too sick to do this conference in 2017, but I had all this other stuff going on where I was speaking up. And by 2018, the lung cancer had metastasized to my brain. So it was complete. My entire brain was riddled with cancer blobs. I'm actually the exhibit of my neurology oncologist for all her international talks. When we got to 2019, I had 5 near-death experiences, okay, and managed to survive and kept doing the things that I was doing, which is a whole nother story. But more importantly, the following year, I also had in 2020, I was just starting to come out of the cancer miraculously while I was watching other friends get diagnosed with cancer and die, quite frankly. I had a bowel resection that was a big surprise, another setback. Still couldn't do the conference. Still couldn't do Speak Up Women the way I had originally envisioned it. So in 2021, I finally understood I was going to be here. And I was going to survive. all of it. So I took a look at what I was doing, and Speak Up Women has always been my passion project, Candace. And one of the most important reasons why is because in all that time that I just told you about, from 2017 all the way to 2021, nobody had tried to take my platform. Nobody had tried to develop it. Everything had kind of gone into hibernation. And I knew that I was the person who was supposed to pick it up. And then I reimagined it. And because I was willing to reimagine, I know that the most efficient and effective way for people to connect is virtually. Speak Up Women is a virtual community. It has conferences, it has events, and it also has a blog for women. And it's all about the importance of her speaking up in her personal and professional relationships for causes she cares about, and when she's put in a position where she needs to speak up for someone else, an advocate. And so those pieces occur, all those things, those relationships at home, with family, friends, your community, your neighbor, right? At work, with your boss, your vendors, your clients. And also when you're saddled with something, all of a sudden you have a relationship with somebody who basically is hospitalized and can't speak for themselves. What are you going to do? Time to speak up.
Holy moly. I've heard your story before, but hearing it again, it sort of takes your breath away. We've spoken about this before. I've been living with metastatic breast cancer for 9 years now. Mm-hmm. And my story is so different than yours, but kind of similar too. I've seen people pass away in years and I'm still living here 9 years later, you know, there's that survivor's guilt, you know, and then there's also the feeling like, okay, I'm here because there's something that needs to be done. And I think you've taken up that mantle as I'm here and something needs to be done.
Yeah.
So this is such a tough subject because not everybody has a support system like you had. So for the women out there who know they need to speak up, first of all, why don't you think many women won't? So what's preventing women from doing that? And then we can move on to the conversation about creating that support group. So what is it with women? Why don't we speak up for ourselves?
So a lot of times when people think of speak up, they think of things like the Me Too movement that sort of came and went. They also think about other things that they see, but basically say to themselves, I could never do that, right? Or somebody's going to judge me, or somebody's not going to like me, or I don't know what to say. And they have all these feelings. So some people say, well, they're just introverts. I'm like, you know what? Sometimes the introverts, Candace, are the smartest people in the room. And if you just took the time to speak to them, they would tell you a whole bunch of things that you're not aware of.
Oh, right? I completely agree with that.
But oftentimes women especially don't speak up because they are judging themselves. I tell them all the time, there's a permission thing when it comes to women, and whether it's something that's been inculcated for us as women, or whether it's something where you're in a profession or a family or a culture, right? Where speaking up is really not the best thing for you, but you've been told that by somebody. And so for me, I always come back to somebody conditioned whoever it is.
Right? It's not necessarily told, to say, I don't think.
No, it's implied. And Sometimes it's also demonstrated, right?
Mm-hmm.
My mother never spoke up. She always was like, psh, psh,
psh, psh. I think it's more demonstration than being told.
Well, you know, when we're little kids, we actually learn from who. We watch our parents, we watch them interact, and we learn what we understand as this is right and that's wrong, right? And so the more we see, the more it gets reinforced. Then we go to school where everybody is told to shush, by the way, right? Male and female. So it doesn't really matter. But the problem that occurs when you go to school or you go to a religious, you know, school, whether it's bar mitzvah school or, you know, Hebrew school or church or your mosque, oh, don't speak now, right? You have to be quiet. And there are a lot of people that as little kids learned now is not the time to speak, but nobody told them when the time to speak was. Yeah. And that's the problem, is that for many people, it's never a good time to speak. Mm-hmm. And so they can't figure out when they should or when they could.
Yeah.
So they don't.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you're right. So how do we shift in the society? How do we make it okay for people to speak up? How do we give them permission?
So first of all, one of the things that's really important about speaking up is understanding that when you speak up, one of the things that most women want is to be heard. It's not about being right, and it's not about persuading or selling somebody something, right? It's just about being heard. Can you hear me? Right? And so, like, we all know the song from Tommy, right? Tommy, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Right? But part of it really is all about, can you acknowledge me? And for many of us, we would be much more comfortable being a wallflower than being in the spotlight, right? They say public speaking for some people is just as terrifying as death, right? So fine, right? So I can get up on a stage and do whatever you want me to do, right? And so can lots of actresses and actors, right? And people who are seasoned public speakers like I am. But that's not what speaking up is about. Speaking up is you and me, Candace, having a conversation and me saying things to you that are not edited, that are not, that are not, oh, I shouldn't say that, right? Oh, I don't want to upset Candace. Oh, I want her to like me, right? All these things that start going through your head. And so one of the best ways I've found, actually, that I oftentimes will say to people is, what's stopping you? Is it you? Because oftentimes it's you. And if you can actually understand, why do I feel uncomfortable saying that to Candace? So here's a couple of rules that I have, which I really think, I'm not really big on rules. I've always been kind of one of those people who said, why are there rules, right? But these are good rules for conversations with people, right? And how is what you're going to say going to create joy? How will it create joy for somebody? Will it create joy for them to know how what they're doing to when you're around doesn't feel good? Well, it may actually, they may not even know that they're doing it. And to get them to stop, the right way to do that is not to be quiet and not to leave them, because they'll do it to other people. Somebody has to speak up and tell them, hey, you know, when you do that thing, it doesn't feel good. And it doesn't mean I'm a sissy or a wimp. It's just, it doesn't land well. It doesn't land well for me. And that should be information that you're interested in. Because if you don't care, then I'm going to leave. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The second one is, how can, when you have that conversation, how can it be positive? Not shame on you and all this other stuff, right? Or calling people names. That's not really the idea of speaking up in a positive way, right? Hey, Candace, I really love what you're doing. And you know, when you do this one thing, it doesn't feel good for me. It's one of those things where, and then offer a solution. hey, you know, if you did it like this, that would be great. And how can I help you? Is there some way I could best support you? All those things are positive instead of just saying, hey, Candace, I don't like the way you do blank.
I was listening to a podcast that I'd never heard before. I just went like this through my phone and picked one and put it on Bluetooth and started driving the car. And it ended up being a conversation with two men about a TV show. It was a random thing. I just picked one, right? And about 10 minutes into the podcast, one of the speakers said, hey, you know, I've been wanting to talk to you about this for a while. At the end of the show, I say something and then you talk over me and it really annoys me.
Yes.
And the other guy says, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that it did. I thought it was our bit. I won't do it anymore. And then That's they went funny. On with the show.
Right.
And I was like, holy crap. These are two men who just had a civil conversation about something that's annoying and they got over it and they went on.
Right. Because once you inform somebody, right, once you say something, they're like, oh, okay. And for most people, they're like, okay, then I don't have to do that, right? Because I could do it a different way. And if they can't figure out a different way, give them a positive suggestion for what to do,
mm-hmm. right? Well, but the important thing is to actually say it, because if you yes. don't, you stew over it.
Speak up. Speak
yeah.
up,
you, right? stew over it.
Oh, well, Lord. You know what? When you don't say something, Candace, right? You end up creating and building resentment. You end up in a situation where you all actually could keep yourself up at night, right? And you
yeah.
honestly could drive yourself crazy with the voices in your head saying, oh, I really hate this. And then when you're supposed to be somewhere with that person, you show up late, right? You start to act out, right?
Yeah. And the more you let it simmer and not do something about it, the worse it gets until it affects your business. It affects your relationships. It affects the relationships with mutual friends or mutual business partners or colleagues. It affects everything.
Then they think you're acting weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's the other thing, right? If I'm having an experience with you, Candace, and I go over here to Vicky and I say, hey, you know, Vicky, blah, 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 blah about Candace. Guess what? Candace is never going to find out.
Nope. Or Candace Why? Might find out.
Because, and then what happens when Candace doesn't find out from you, or in this case, me, right? So I tell Vicky either keeps it to herself, so Candace, nothing gets resolved. So it doesn't solve anything, okay? Or worse, Vicky says, I'm telling Candace, right? And then what happens? She runs over here. Candace, did you know? Blah, 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 right? That's what we call gossip. Gossip is not speaking up.
No.
Gossip is absolutely something that poisons people and doesn't solve anything. What does is actually getting that information to the right person who can do something about it, right? And so if you had a bad experience with somebody, if you had a bad phone call, are you going to say, okay, I'm going to chalk it up to them having a bad day and I'm going to see if it happens again? If it happens again, speak up.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? This is 3 times, 4 times. Hey, babe, it's a pattern. It's something that doesn't feel good for you. So what are you going to do? You're going to keep subjecting yourself to it? Well, the person on the other side of the transom probably has shown you by now that they have no idea that what they're doing is annoying for you, irritating for you, upsetting for you, or distancing you from them. They have no clue. So if you speak up, look at what you described.
Yeah.
So fast.
Yeah.
It's instant.
So now we have to address the snowflake in the room. There is this mentality that people who don't like the way somebody makes them feel are snowflakes. What do you do in that instance when someone says, oh, don't be a snowflake? How do you deal with that?
Well, part of it is also knowing your worth, right? And a lot of it, a lot of times, what you have to understand when you speak up is that you're really talking about your personal boundaries. And if you don't have any personal boundaries, then it makes it really hard for you to be around people that you don't enjoy being with. If you don't enjoy being with them, you can either A, speak up with them, B, choose not to be around them, or C, speak up to them, and if they don't like it, don't be around them, right? Because the thing for most people when it comes to any age, by the way, nobody likes a bully.
No.
And when somebody actually speaks up, especially women, it's not aggressive. It's not rude. It's just somebody who's expressing themselves. And that's why Speak Up Women is about women's empowerment and the importance of self-expression. If you don't speak up, it's like if you're overwhelmed and you need a personal day or you need some time away from someone or something, it's your job to speak up and say, hey, I need a timeout. Hey, I need to go out for lunch today. Hey, I need to stay at home today, right? You're a parent. You have a child who has gotten sick. What do? You speak up. You say to your employer, hey, you know what? I'm not going to be able to come in today. My child is sick. That's speaking up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have an employer who says, I don't care, right? Then you kind of know who you're working for.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So speaking up really, I mean, for me, listen, one of my talks that I've given is called Speak Up or Die, because that's what I did.
Yeah, you did.
If I hadn't spoken up, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
You know, and that was 2017. So we're here, you know, 6 years later. I feel mm-hmm. very fortunate that I actually opened my mouth and said something. And then I didn't sit there and just complain. I refused to be under the care of somebody that would treat me that way.
Yeah.
So I went to the hospital, this big giant institution, found the right person and said, hey, you need to look into this guy because he's doing this to me and I can't be the only one.
Yeah. And yes, I did that when I quit a job mm-hmm. A long time ago. I mean, I've been self-employed for over 25 years. So this was a very long time ago. I quit a job and I went down to the labor board or wherever it is. And I basically explained to them why I quit my job. And I did it not to, I was angry at the company because of the way I had been treated, but I was also thinking about a coworker that I'd had there who was really a lot younger than me. And I was young. I mean, this is 24 years ago, but she was a lot younger than me. And she had moved into, I mean, we were in a big city. She'd moved to the big city from a small town in another state for this job. And I, you know, the number of times that I heard her crying in her cubicle because she was so miserable. And I'm like, if I don't be the one, if I'm not the one who tells the company all, you know, who makes this change in the company, they're just going to keep hiring young women like that and taking advantage of them, not taking advantage. Business-wise, that phrase can come off wrong. Anyway, I went through and the I can't even remember. It's not the labor board. It's I can't remember who it is who you go to fix that. But anyway, I went through and they said, well, that's not legal and that's not legal and they're not supposed to do that and they can't do that. And then they addressed it with the company and it made, and you know, I never talked to anybody who worked there again. And you know, but I know that they had to make positive changes. Right.
That's right. That's right.
Because they got in trouble. And
well, somebody called them out on it.
Yeah.
Because they'll keep doing it until somebody does. And that's, you know, for me, my life is filled with speak up moments. And I'm one of those persons who basically just asks a lot of questions and posits a lot of things like, you know, why is it that way? Or how come? You know, I just don't, I'm not skeptical. I'm more of someone who wants the information. Tell me why. And I'm also not a prove it person, because that's also what happens to some people. They speak up and the person on the other side of the conversation says, prove it. So the other side of the speaking up is to be a good active listener. Thank somebody for speaking up instead of penalizing them and shaming them and actually saying, prove it to them.
That's a culture shift.
If somebody I know, and that's part of my mission, right? Because part of the objective here is that I am the only person, Candace, who can tell you if something is landing wrong for me. You can't tell me, hey, you shouldn't feel that way. Hey, I didn't mean it that way, and you shouldn't feel that way. Can I tell you that that just makes no sense to me whatsoever?
Yeah.
Because if I have a feeling, it's mine. I'm the only person who can tell you if what you said didn't feel good. If I express it to you and I tell you, then basically I'm saying to you, please don't do that again. And the better response, instead of prove it, or you shouldn't feel that way, right, is more like, thank you for telling me, or I didn't mean it that way. I'm so sorry. Notice how I have an apology in there. I'm sorry it didn't land well for you, right? I didn't mean it. You know, we talk about having a kinder society. We have a kindness day now and all kinds of things, right?
You know, I don't feel like it's landing though. I don't feel like we're getting kinder.
It's a concept that we seem to be getting more distant from, even though we talk more about it. And it's one of those things where kindness is not a thing. It's not a word. It's an action. You know, kindness is one of those things where speaking up to me is being kind to somebody else and saying to them, hey, you know what? It's better for me to go take a walk outside than for me to stay here and broil.
Yeah.
Right? It's better for me to take a day off so I can recuperate from whatever's bothering me or whatever's going on for me, or maybe I don't feel well, than it is for me to come in and infect the whole office or for me to basically grump my way through my day.
Yeah.
You know, and so for a lot of people, they don't understand that there's a lot of value in speaking up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of reward. There's a lot of benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of people, Candace, they wouldn't have the jobs they have if they hadn't spoken up and said, hey, you know what? I see this. I want to do that. I think we should have this. I want to, you know, and all of a sudden you're like, I didn't know we needed that in the company. Yeah. Okay, great. We should do that. What do you think?
And not waiting to speak up, speak up on time. I walked into the office of a CEO of a company I worked at. I was really young. And I said, I want to run the Canadian office. And he looked at me and he said, the Canadian customer service department. And he looked at me and he said, you'd be awesome at that. And he picked up the phone and he called the Canadian CEO and somebody, they'd already filled the job. But I waited too long. I'd known about it for weeks and it took me weeks to walk into his office and say it. And he said, you'd be really good at that. And I'm like, if I had said this 3 weeks ago, I would be living in Canada now.
Correct. Yeah. And, you know, that's really what happens. You know, I hear from so many women, they're like, I was in this meeting and I had this great idea. And then somebody said it and I didn't know what to say because that was my idea. And I say, you know what? Then you should share it when you actually have it instead of waiting, you know, not interrupt people and be rude. Yeah. That's not what I'm saying. Speaking up is not about being, you know, obnoxious. It's really more about saying, hey, you know what? I have something to say. I raise my hand all the time when people are talking, and sometimes they're like, what is that? You're raising your hand. What is that? And I'm like, when you're done, I'm going to let you complete what you're saying, but I have something that I would like to say.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay. And then they'll finish what they're saying. And then they'll say, you had something to say. What is it? And they'll recognize me very much like you would, you know, in a board meeting or something like that. And one of the most important things is that when you have something to say, let somebody know.
Yeah.
You know, raising your hand is a great indication. It gives you that opportunity to say, hey, you know, when you're done, I, you know, yeah. Right. And sometimes I'll raise my hand and someone will say, you know, I'm talking. And they'll say, I see you, Jennifer. Okay, I'll get to you. Right. Blah, blah, blah. And they'll keep going. But basically, I'll put my hand down. Why? Because I've already shown that I have something to say, right? Mm-hmm. Or something to add or something, you know, to introduce or whatever it is, right? But the more you keep it to yourself, the only person that's going to benefit is you. If you want to benefit the world, speak up.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't know the opportunity that you're going to miss if you don't speak up.
No, exactly. Wow. Like what you described, right?
So let's talk about bossy, the term bossy.
Ah, yes. One of my faves.
When I was in seventh grade, one of my classmates told me that our home ec teacher thought I was bossy. And that could have waylaid a lot of people, but I decided to embrace it. 13 years old, I embraced it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a little bit of that has turned me into, I'll bulldoze through and get the things done that need to get done. But then I think sometimes, maybe I do need to step back and not be so assertive. But I've never not wanted to be the boss. You know what I'm saying? I want to be the boss.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes there's something about being the boss that's a very special person. You know, they have all these personality evaluations and assessments and books that basically say there are different personalities that are out there. And there are people who are leaders. They want to be in front. They want to basically be in that role. And there are other people, Candace, quite frankly, who don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
They and just don't.
For me though, it was that teacher, I wanted to do it despite her, mm-hmm. You know? Don't hold me back. Watch me go. Yeah.
And part of it, you know, there are times when people are perceived as bossy, but really they're just doing exactly what you said. You know, I just want to get things done. I don't want to sit here and wait while we're all basically treading water here. Mm-hmm. I see the path forward. I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to say, listen, this is how I think it should be done. Blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. If you want to do it another way, let's talk about it and let's actually figure it out. But by golly, let's just not stand here and do nothing.
Yeah. Well, in a home ec class, somebody's got to pick up the recipe and read it.
Like,
and if
come on,
people are in a group, someone's got to pick up that recipe and read it and say, okay, you get the ingredients, you get the pots and pans out. You know, somebody's got to read it. If four of you are responsible for making a meal. So if nobody else is going to do it, someone has to step forward.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's why I say, you know, some people are just born leaders where they're like, you know, the people will say, okay, I do this all the time when I facilitate, who wants to go first? And I see people that sort of do this and, you know, hide under their desk or whatever, right? Hide under their screen and these days, right? Or mm-hmm. I see people who say, okay, I'm like, I see like three hands go up and I'm like, okay, great. You, right? And I'm facilitating, not bossing, right? And one of the things that happens is that time that is actually part of that experience becomes used well. Like you're saying, well, somebody has to read the recipe. And if this person gets this and this person gets this and this person gets this, and they all bring it back at the same time, look at how much time we just saved.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And it really becomes, you know, what is it about that bossiness that bothers you? Is that you want to do it? Do you want to read the recipe? Or is that you're just jealous of the person who's doing it because they can? Like, where is that point that we develop this weird word called bossiness, mm-hmm. right? Because when you actually think about it, there are people who insert an attitude when they're leading. Okay, maybe that's bossy. But there are other people who are just getting things done that understand if you do this and you do this, we can move faster. Is that bossy? Is that assertive? That rude?
If I had been a boy, I would have been a good delegator.
Right.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that we're talking 1983. Okay. So.
And that clouds it for women though. But you know what the problem is, Candace? It hasn't changed.
Yeah.
And it's time to change. And that's why Speak Up Women is so important, because it actually shows women what's happening and why they should do it differently.
Okay. So when someone joins Speak Up Women, what can they expect?
So when they join, they get a newsletter. You can subscribe to the newsletter at speakupwomen.com. And you can also attend our two conferences a year. One is in April and the next one is October 21st. And you can actually get a subscription gift box once a quarter that actually includes those gentle reminders to speak up, including a book, a note from me, quote cards for you, as well as other goodies that are inside that box each quarter to remind you to speak up. In fact, when we actually do the conference gift boxes, we include a door hanger that says, "Do not disturb, woman speaking up," to hang on your door because it's a virtual conference.
I love
and
that.
And it actually gives you the opportunity to say, hey, right, this is my time. There's also a book in every box that actually helps you to continue to cultivate that comfort level with speaking up and why it's important.
Wow. Awesome. And so the conference in October, what's the theme?
So when we do a conference, we actually usually do one or two panels. We have keynote speaker, we have other topics, but it's always a smattering of where speaking up shows up. So like, for example, we've had a panel on imposter syndrome. We've had a panel on the recipe to speak up. We've had another one about use your words. Which words have the right energy? Which words bring other people down or you? We also have, you know, we've had a panel about the leadership mindset. What is it to lead? And what does that mean when you're speaking up? Exactly what we were just talking about, right? We've had people talk about courage. Courage is one of those things that, just like you were talking about, it took you a little while to speak up, right? Because you sort of have to cultivate that vulnerability, that tenacity we talk about, right?
Yeah.
Of actually saying, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and to have the cojones to walk into the CEO's office when I was a customer service agent, you know.
Yeah.
With at least three levels of management in between me and the CEO.
100%. And you can. That's the difference, you know. Most people say, oh, I would never do that.
Yeah. But with him, I felt like I could. It just took me a few weeks to build up the courage. You know?
And some of those things are, listen, if you speak up and somebody doesn't do what you thought they should or would at the time, just remember when you speak up, they'll remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if something comes along, they may say, hey, you know what? I want to run this by you.
Yeah.
Why? Because now all of a sudden you spoke up, you shined, you left the wall.
Yeah.
And you're now blooming like a real flower.
even if the opportunity passed you by for the one that you spoke up, you're exactly right. Other opportunities are going to present themselves.
You know, when we select speakers, I've had countless speakers tell me, that after I said yes, and we selected them for a conference that they've spoken at, Candace, they started saying yes to everything because they actually thought, wow, if they could say yes to me here, I wonder what I could do there.
Wow.
And you know, that's one of those things that warms my heart.
Yeah.
And fills me up. Because to me, I'm like, well, we said yes for a reason, right? We select, you can go to conference.speakupwomen.com. And if you go there, you'll just go to contact and you'll see become a speaker. We love to hear from women who have something to say to show other women why it's important to speak up. For us at Speak Up Women, one of the most important things is that speaking up shows up in your life everywhere. So when you feel like it's time to speak up, don't hesitate. Just do it. Speak up.
Yeah. I want to go back to that formula or the recipe for speaking up. Can you synopsize it in 30 seconds?
Yeah, because, you know, one of the things that happens for us is that we think our voice doesn't matter. And when we do that, we actually create for ourselves a boundary that when we speak up, nobody's listening. And so it takes courage, tenacity, and it also takes the knowing that what you have to say matters. And when it doesn't land with people who don't think it matters, find new people. I know it sounds very simple, and it's really not for most people. But the reality is, life is not a dress rehearsal. This is your time. It's always the right time to speak up.
Yeah.
And it gives you an opportunity to weigh and measure lots of things in your life. Listen, my personal platform is I want you to live the life you imagine. If you can't speak up, how could you possibly live that? Because you want to tell everybody in your life what life that is. What is the life you imagine, Candace? How can I help you get it? My golly, I am just so excited because I could never guess some of the things that you would want. So I'm asking you to speak up. Can you imagine having that conversation with somebody? What is it that you want? Right? That is my number one question all the time.
Your husband would never have to guess what to get you for Mother's Day.
Yes, that's right.
I love
that. That's exactly right.
Okay, so we need to wrap up, but I would love to hear what your favorite marketing tool, tip, or technique is.
Sure. Well, you know, one of the things about Speak Up Women is we own the first page of Google. We are the number one destination for the keyword Speak Up Women for more than 1.5 trillion searches a day. We are above CNBC, Harvard Business Review, Forbes, and everybody else. So how do we do that? Well, there are two things that I would say to you that are most important to me. We don't stop doing what we're doing. We don't do it in spurts. We are consistent. We're consistent on social media. We're consistent with our blogs. We're consistent with our conferences. We're consistent. One of the other things that is big secret is we really subscribe to SEO. SEO is one of those things where we have keyed in on, if you will, Speak Up Women. Speak Up Women is our term. We own it. Our press releases are everything. It's all about speaking up. We're very clear. One of the most important things, Candace, somebody told me about Speak Up Women was exactly that. You're so clear. Like there's no gray area. There's no, I'm not really sure what that means. The minute that I talk about Speak Up Women is about speaking up and the importance of her doing it. That's it. There is nothing more. Networking, business, home, school, somebody's in, you know, illness, whatever, death, it's all speaking up. But it's one skill. And it's real simple, but boy, is it really hard for people. And that's why Speak Up Women works.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so clear.
So your marketing tool tip or technique is clarity.
You bet. 100%.
Clarity, having 100% clarity on what you're doing.
That's it. Right. And Google knows it because it's clear and other people know it and they recognize it. Oh, speak up. Well, I know what that is. And it's great. And it's like, you know, we have a Tumblr and yes, we have a string bag and yes, we have all these fun things. We even have a little lip gloss that's Speak Up Women, by the way. You know, and if you get the gift box, you'll get one. But the thing that's really fun about Speak Up Women is the minute you see that logo, it's almost like that subliminal message. Hey, right? Yeah. And it gives you confidence. It gives you competence and it gives you that idea that I really could.
Yeah. Clarity does give you confidence.
It does.
Awesome. All right. This is your moment of gratitude. For whom or what are you most grateful?
Well, I am very most grateful for my life. Number one, I'm really grateful for my life. And I'm really grateful for the two men in my life that are the most supportive, my husband and my father. Because without the two of them, I wouldn't be sitting here with you. If they hadn't helped me and helped me in that situation, they are just really incredible gifts to me. And both of them have really, even in this aftermath, I'm going to call it, we're all very tight. Really, really very tight.
Thanks for tuning in to Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast that helps DIY marketers attract raving fans and repeat buyers. Make sure to visit gratitudegeek.com for the show notes, where you can find links to all the groovy resources mentioned, including ways to connect with our guest, Jennifer S. Wilkov. If you loved this episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on Audible, iTunes, Good Pods, or your preferred podcast player so you never miss an episode. Our theme music is track 14 by Rev Brock and Soul Lily. I'm your host, Candice Rudardi, reminding you that gratitude is like manure. It's just a pile of poo until you spread it around. Stay groovy, my friends.
Stay groovy, my friends.